Today on Compassion Radio.
We don't talk ideas about God. We discover who God is by serving Him the way He calls us to serve Him. And that defines everything about our theology. It's the encounter with God that defines theology, not our ideas about God and then trying to force Him into our own box.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Louise Allar is president and CEO at Alliance for Life International, which specializes in faith-based, life-affirming, nonprofit human rights programs committed to assisting and encouraging our global neighbors in building cultures of life in which preborn children are welcome and the lives of those who are weak and vulnerable are protected. Today, Bram will be talking with her about how God got a hold of her life and called her to this incredible ministry, and about the great things He is doing through it. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
Louise Allar, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you, Bram, and your audience.
Of course, we can't start this program without bringing attention to something that's delightful about you that I learned when I sat down for a meal with you, and that is your accent. It is unique and European and nuanced, but it's not from Europe. You are born and raised in what part of North America?
Well, I was born and raised in Quebec, Canada. So I'm French-Canadian.
And welcome to sunny California, where you now live. Now, how long have you been in California?
Since 1978, so a long time, really.
And your career, as you expected you would be doing, was going to be in nursing. Now, you started as a pediatric nurse, is that correct?
Yes, I studied in a large pediatric hospital in Montreal. I've been wanting to be a pediatric nurse since age 8, and I just continued that goal and that path, and I accomplished that, so it was great.
Now, there are normal ways you could go become a medical missionary or join an organization that places you somewhere else, but you had a few other skills that God put to use as well. In fact, you went into hospital administration early on in your career, so you understood how health care works, not just how people are nursed. And that was a profound bit of knowledge and expertise that God was going to put to use in the years to come. So tell me about that progress of you being a nurse with a passion for pediatrics to becoming a director of medical services in the place where you were working.
It started really in California, because in Quebec, I had two young children. In fact, I worked part-time, so my career did not expand a lot in Quebec, except that after 2 years of nursing, I ended up as a head nurse of a skilled nursing facility, a 35-bed floor.
Very good.
Then when I came to California, I was looking for work, so I did 2 years in pediatrics as a charge nurse. And then after that, we moved to Mission Viejo, and I was looking for employment through a headhunter agency that I did not even know was there looking for work for me. I ended up with the job at Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach as the 24-hour head nurse for their unit for 4.5 years.
Wow.
So that was really a great experience as an administrator.
Now, a 24-hour schedule sounds like you didn't get much sleep.
Yeah, well, they call this 24-hour responsibility.
I understand. But it does mean you're on call. Like any drop of the hat, you are ready to go. Now, that's got to be good training for missions of work. After those years of being a hospital administrator and working with teams of people, God started stirring in your heart about the disparity between those who have so much wealth of medical services available to them, like we do in the West, and those countries that have zero opportunity for health care. Now, I don't want to not acknowledge that we have issues with our health care in America. In fact, it's one of the hottest topics in the media right now. And we're very disturbed about the fear that we have about not being able to get access to the health care that we need if something really goes drastically wrong for us. And it's a hot topic in our politics. Yet we do know that if push comes to shove, even if we have to go bankrupt, there's a hospital down the street that will take us in by law, and they will give us treatment. They're not going to leave us sitting on the curb. So that is a certain kind of luxury, even though it's an economic burden. It's still a luxury that we have in this country to ride an ambulance and be treated in a hospital. But that's not the case in most of the world, and you noticed that. So tell me about progress in your heart and mind.
Well, I probably knew that, but knowing it personally in the field, it makes a much greater impact on you, and it moved my heart to do something about it. So I started going to Africa in 2003 in the Congo, and then I returned to Uganda and Kenya in 2007, and 2008 in Uganda again. I was involved in medical outreach. That means a team of medical people, a doctor and several nurses, let's say, maybe five or six people, would conduct a medical outreach. We would go to a village and treat the people there that wanted to be seen that day. I got to see hundreds of people during those medical outreach, during at least two trips there where we conducted several. And I just realized that, okay, we're there for one day, providing services for one day. And these people are just like deprived of medical services year round. So how could I offer something just for one day? So after that, it was just very important for me to have goals that would improve medical care to the area. And I was specifically interested in improving the care to mothers and children. So maternal child health has always been very primary.
Now, how does this compare with Doctors Without Borders that deal with conflict medical issues and other kinds of general world development issues that the UN might tackle or governments? What makes it unique when someone like you, a person of faith, steps into the gap to provide these kind of services and to dream a dream that has not been dreamt before?
Well, the way it came out for me, you know, I was one person wanting to do something. So God starts where you're at, and the gifts that you have, my gifts, I suppose, were nursing and administration. So I went to see the Department of Health Services. And I said, I want to open a clinic here, a maternal child health clinic. But they realized that I was not living there. And how could I offer services if I don't even live there?
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime when it's convenient for you, just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet, and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry, and take a look at all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com. The Book of Psalms has inspired musicians to compose songs, writers to write books and commentaries, and artists to paint and draw wonderful works of art. That's why right now we'd like to tell you about the Psalms in Color Coloring Book. This beautifully illustrated book contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color, along with bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible. There's also blank pages for you to color and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms in Color coloring book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, grown-ups, and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book. And we'd like to send you a copy of it today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. You can contact us right now by calling 800-868-2478 or going to CompassionRadio.com. Your gifts make it possible for us to keep bringing you these amazing stories from the mission field. So please consider how God would have you support this ministry. And be sure to ask for your copy of the Psalms in Color coloring book when you contact us today. Again, you can call 800-868-2478 or you can go to CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria with an urgent message regarding the anti-immigrant violence going on right now in South Africa and how it's affecting our friends at Door of Hope Ministries. As I record this, there are riots in a number of South African cities, including Johannesburg, where the Door of Hope office and children's homes are located. Desperate, unemployed, and poor South Africans are taking out their frustration on immigrants even worse off than them. Frightened men, women, and children are on the run from brutal attacks. Thousands are being assaulted and displaced simply because they want a better life. The violence is spilling over into neighborhoods surrounding the city center. And yes, it directly affects Door of Hope. Some of their buildings have been vandalized. Thankfully, all the staff and babies are safe. With compassionate courage, the founders of Door of Hope, Don and Cheryl Allen, stood up to the attackers and prevented serious damage. I can't stress enough how brave these people really are. As we say down in Texas, this isn't their first rodeo. They deal with desperation every day in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. The work Door of Hope is doing now is more desperately needed than ever. They're still taking in babies whose mothers don't want to abandon them to death on the streets. With the recent developments, I expect the number to go up in the days ahead. As a result, the need for our Hope Village project is even more urgent. I'll be meeting personally with Richard Allen of Door of Hope in the coming days, and I promise a thorough update after we meet. In the meantime, please contact us to help and to find out more about Door of Hope and the Hope Village Project. Simply go to CompassionRadio.com right now to help. Help us help Door of Hope complete that Hope Village Project as soon as possible. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also call 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And please, contact us right away.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
It was just very important for me to have goals that would improve medical care to the area. And I was specifically interested in improving the care to mothers and children. So maternal child health has always been very primary.
Now, how does this compare with Doctors Without Borders that deal with conflict medical issues and other kinds of general world development issues that the UN might tackle or governments? What makes it unique when someone like you, a person of faith, steps into the gap to provide these kind of services and to dream a dream that has not been dreamt before?
Well, the way it came out for me, you know, I was one person wanting to do something. So God starts where you're at, and the gifts that you have, my gifts, I suppose, were nursing and administration. So I went to see the Department of Health Services, and I said, I want to open a clinic here, a maternal child health clinic. But they realized that I was not living there. And how could I offer services if I don't even live there? So they decided to evaluate this for a couple of days. And then they called me back and they said, okay, what about helping a little hospital here? It's already built and staffed and everything to do cesarean sections, for example, in the hospital. Because at the moment, the women that need a cesarean section emergency, they have to travel far. Far means about 20, 25 miles when there are bad roads. So that's far.
And often even without a vehicle, too.
That's far. What happens is that you lose baby or mother or both because of lack of access. Emergency cesarean section to save lives has to be done immediately.
Yes.
And so therefore they were losing too many babies. They already had an operating room that was built with USAID funds in year 2000, but it was built, it's kind of sad in a sense, it was built to do sterilization. That was the purpose, sterilization for men. They didn't go along with it. They were not able to convince the population to accept that method.
What a surprise.
And so therefore, it stood there for years and years unused, a beautiful operating room that was unused because it was not equipped to do other things, like, for example, cesarean section. And so this is what we did. That was the first step.
You're kind of seeing a vision problem here, that the tools are in place, but there's no vision for what could be done with the tools that are sitting there when the last idea didn't amount to much. This birthed a new calling for you, and now it's known as Alliance for Life International. Explain how this opportunity in front of you and this spark of inspiration within you became what is now Alliance for Life.
Well, Alliance for Life, you know, is 20 years old. It was founded in 1998, and it was purely educational. So we were a pro-life organization. We were just wanting to establish the value of the human being in the womb and the dignity of the preborn child. Mm. And I even wrote my thesis on defending the rights of the preborn child. Mm. So that was the whole emphasis was educational. But then when I started going to Africa, I realized that I always wanted to live out those values. Not just be purely educational, but to live out those values that we believe in so strongly, the value of the individual starting in the womb. Over there in Africa, I just found opportunities to live out those things. The Pregnancy Resource Center came. Here we have more than 3,000 in the U.S., much more than that, actually, and it's growing. But over there, they didn't have that. Yeah. So a young woman was very prone to have an abortion, for example. So I started to build on that. Actually, the first project, though, was the operating room, the facilitating for the hospital to do cesarean section. Mm. And that project lasted a couple of years, plus we had to fix the doctor's house, so that's 3 years, and then trying to find a doctor. Well, that's the system that took care of that. But we went through three doctors. But finally, the Lord made a way. The Lord made a way.
It's amazing.
That's another long story. The Lord makes a way, but it takes time sometimes for these things to be accomplished. But in 2014, they started to use it for C-section.
So that dream of yours, born almost a dozen years ago, perhaps, of being practical with your theology. Side note here, we are firm believers that there is no true theology without compassion and action. We don't talk ideas about God. We discover who God is by serving him the way he calls us to serve him. And that defines everything about our theology. It's the encounter with God that defines theology, not our ideas about God and then trying to force him into our own box. So you did that. Yeah. You pursued him. You found out where he was doing his work his way. And you realized that he was presenting you with a problem that needed to be figured out. What a gift is that God trusts you enough to solve a problem. And now, 3 years later, how is that particular project going?
Well, okay, so the Buenge Health Center 4 is, you know, that project is completed. And when I went late in 2014, the nurse that received me says, oh, it's been a long time since we've had a mother dying surrounding birth.
Amen.
It's been a long time. Amen. And she explained how the program was working. There were three doctors. Since then, they had built a hospital nearby. And I said to myself, there will be doctors in that hospital. And when they discover this operating room, this is a jewel in the middle of nowhere, they will want to use it. And this is exactly what happened. The doctors came to that other hospital. They discovered the operating room. And they started taking turns, like 8-hour shift, to be on call for the cesarean section in case if it was needed. So this is how God met the need, you know. So that was exciting. And then feeling secure that this was taken care of and this was used, then I moved on to other things, obviously.
I guess you would.
And I guess I would. In 2012, that's earlier than that, but as soon as the hospital was equipped and everything, we opened a pregnancy resource center in Kampala. And then we opened several programs to answer the need of the pregnant women in unplanned pregnancy or distressing pregnancy. This is how we call it, distressing pregnancy. We have an Adopt-a-Mom program.
Interesting. Who adopts these moms?
Yeah, most of the time it's someone from the U.S., that will give like $50 a month, and that will permit this young mother to go back to school and or start a business. And so that will support her and her baby and pay for the schooling. But we do not want these young women to establish them single-parent household like they do so much in the U.S. We discourage that. We want the child and the mom to be integrated in their larger families. After all, this is such an important value in Africa, the value of family. We want to encourage that. And we work through family reintegration for this young woman to be integrated back in her family because she was rejected because of her pregnancy.
Yes.
But now they see the example of the Alliance helping her for free, actually, offering free services of counseling. We're following these young women up to 18 months to 2 years. At least, you know, we see them. They're even welcome after that, but usually that's essential that we follow them for a couple of years. And during this time, we want them to learn a skill so they could support themselves and their baby, not to be independent, but to be of use to the family as well, not to be perceived as a burden.
Yeah, it's developing a godly sense of interdependence. Now, I understand that in that part of Africa, especially Sub-Saharan, is dealing with the repercussions of a huge death rate from AIDS and other medical attacks on their families.
Yes.
So many families are destroyed through war and through disease. And so you're saying that not necessarily trying to force mothers who might have been abused or abandoned by men, but to find some arrangement that equals family. So that the child has more than one person to depend upon and has relationships that will extend. And you mentioned something important, Louise, that when you come to stand beside a young woman who has been culturally rejected by her peers because of the stigma of unwanted or unmarried pregnancies, that when you stand as a strong person with them and give them dignity, give them a place and a status and an honor with you as an organization, the community takes note of that. And it can shift people's perspectives on the value of the person standing in front of them.
You're right.
And reorientates their compass toward the kind of compassion that Christ has. So what's been the effect of that? How many women are being reached now, and how is that changing the dynamics of the children and the villages in which they live?
Well, for example, in the beginning, usually the young woman is isolated, but she finds way back to her family because we really do not have the means to support this young woman and pay all her rent and all her food and everything. You know, we do not have the means to do that. So we encourage the young woman to be reintegrated to her family. Usually what happens is they come to the big city. And they kind of, you know, disperse themselves and
lose contact and relationship.
Yes. And then they end up pregnant. And then they don't even want to go back home.
Right.
Okay. Home is the village. So we work with them. And then eventually they find themselves back with their family and where the family offers lodging and, a place to stay for this young woman and accept the young child that is coming. And usually the family, again, they see the example that we provide and the value that we attribute to this child, the preborn child, and the woman, and it really transfers to the family. The family says, okay, well, maybe we could do our part. Okay, maybe it's not the end of the world. You know, we could help. That's what we have seen.
Yeah. In a world of death certainty, of you are this, you are nothing but that, you come back in with a question. Maybe we could see this differently. Maybe this child is not a punishment. Maybe this young woman has worth and value and dignity and will return to a place of honor. Maybe.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of questions that come from the heart of God, introducing us softly to a redemptive worldview. So I'm very proud of you for helping to bring that message of redemption of families back to where it counts. And it tells me that obviously God was stirring in your heart about the issue of the dignity of human life. It's been so undignified in our culture, the way we treated women and those children that they carry. People are expendable in our Western culture, literally.
Right.
So you've turned the tide on that, and God said, okay, I'm going to give you a place where you can literally see this work itself out in the human heart and in the village, in the community, and in a country. For that one fact, Louise, we are very, very proud of you at Compassion Radio. You hold for us the very heart of what we've been working on for the past 20 or 30 years as a ministry. How do we get people excited about God redeeming circumstances in a way that transform families and countries and the history of humanity? It's really possible. I just want to hold that up for our listeners and say, there's nothing magical about what Louise did. Louise turned to the Lord and said, what can I do? And God helped her do an inventory of the things that she had. And she received that call and said, okay, I'll go. She went. And what she discovered there told her how God had uniquely equipped her for the task at hand. And that's one of the spiritual lessons I want to leave with this particular part of the program, is that God equipped you, Louise, to do what you did in unique ways, through your experience, through your administration, through your medical training. But there's more than that. So tell me more about how he specifically equipped you for the kind of missions work you're doing now.
I became pro-life, very pro-life. I would say maybe 1984. I'm a nurse, so I have no excuse. I know the life in the womb.
Yeah.
I was a pediatric nurse. I was aware. But I was not living my faith as a young woman in Quebec, Canada. I was not. I was raised Catholic all my life, my all-Catholic education, through 16 years in Quebec. The time in which I lived in, I graduated from nursing in 1968. The whole wide world went crazy in 1968. It was the sexual revolution.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. If you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey as well. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you here at Compassion Radio. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, I'd like to ask you to consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? You know, sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We're 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Today, when you give, we'll send you a copy of the Psalms in Color coloring book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color, along with bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible. There are also blank pages for you to color and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms in Color coloring book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults, and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Call us right now at 800-868-2478 or visit CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.